Bob is not feeling well, so he asked me if I would step in this morning, and I have a message for Mother's Day. It's titled, Motherhood Isn't for the Faint of Heart. Today's message isn't about how to be good to your mothers. It's not about, having that great day with your mothers. We're going to look at a mother who had to make some hard choices. So we're going to look at a story about a mother who had to make some hard choices for the welfare of her son. You know, being a mother and or a father, it isn't for the faint of heart. It requires some tough decisions, decisions that are risky, that are heart-wrenching, and decisions that require faith. And today we're going to look at a story of a woman who's mentioned only a few times in the scriptures. Despite her low profile, she provides a finely drawn portrait of a mother with faith. She even made it into the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Her name, according to the book of Numbers, chapter 26, and verse 59, was Jochebed. She was Moses' mother. Jochebed is a Hebrew name that means Yahweh is glory. Yahweh is glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to what you'd have us to hear, the many lessons that are within this story, not just for mothers, but for fathers, for children, sons and daughters. May we draw what you want us to learn from this, and then may we be action. May we be doers of the word, and not just hearers only. I pray for the Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, the story begins with the nation Israel being in Egypt. They've been in Egypt now for a little less than 400 years. They were growing there. They prospered there. But before long, they became a problem for Pharaoh. Pharaoh was starting to get concerned at how strong and how cohesive and how this group of people, this Hebrew people, were growing. And he thought they were a threat to his reign. So Pharaoh had this idea. He says, I'm going to force them into slavery. He's going to try and break their backs. He's going to try and put an end to this growth and this movement within his nation. So he puts them into slavery. By the sweat of their brow, cities like Pithom and Ramses were built. And he hoped to break their spirit, to end this. Because by breaking your spirit, you can put an end to the threat that's happening to his reign right now. So he's trying to break their spirit, but they continued to grow and they continued to prosper even under slavery of Pharaoh. So he turned up the heat just a little bit more. He commanded the Hebrew midwives to murder the newborn sons of the Hebrew women as they were giving birth. He says, slavery doesn't do it. I'm going to murder their firstborn, or their sons, not their firstborn. But the sons that were to be born, they were to be murdered by the Hebrew midwives. Well, this wasn't working out too well either, because the Hebrew midwives were not bowing to the order of the Pharaoh. So he put another plan of action. He says that if the people the Egyptians saw a Hebrew baby, son, boy, they were to pick it up and throw it in the Nile. So now he's taking and he's taking it to the Egyptians, to his loyal followers, to the people of the nation who quite possibly had the same idea he had, is that these were a threat. This group of people was a threat to Pharaoh and to the nation of Egypt. So now an Egyptian, if they saw a Hebrew baby boy, they were to pick it up and throw it into the Nile. So it was during this reign of terror that Jochebed became pregnant with her third child. She didn't have to worry about her older children, Aaron and Miriam, but the child in her room would be fair game for this reign of terror in the land of Egypt. Any Egyptian that saw her baby boy could just pick it up and throw it in the Nile and watch it drown. See, Moses' mother, she was a slave. She had to work in the brickyards or labor in the fields all day. It's hard in this scenario to even imagine what it must have been like to be pregnant in that kind of setting and be submitted to that kind of oppression. Can you imagine living in such fear? These are challenging days to be a mother, even in our world. We don't have to worry about right now in our country of snatching our babies away and throwing them in the river and watching them drown. But there's a lot of things that threaten a woman conceiving today and a baby. There are forces at work which threaten to drown our children. In Africa, there's nations there that the babies can be taken away and put in and be trained up to be soldiers for that country. In America and in the free world, babies that are being born and raised up today can be drowned in the river of violence and sex that is just spewing out of the TV, just pouring out of the TV. They can drown in that, just like the babies who are being thrown into the river Nile. They can be drowned in the sea of confusion between right and wrong. Where are we at today? And where wrong is right and right is wrong. Our babies can be drowning in the sea of confusion. They can drown in the competitiveness of sports, where we reward performance above character. See, we can put parallels of today even into what Moses' mother was dealing with there. People say that, I hear it, I'm sure you guys hear it too, that we shouldn't be having babies. There's just too much. Too much for the baby to have to handle or you know, overpopulation. There's a whole bunch of things there that we shouldn't be having babies. We don't want to bring a baby into this world because of everything that's going on. I want to tell you that Moses, in the story here in Exodus 2, tells a different story. There's a word here for young parents. Number one, do you see your children as a gift from God? You see, Moses' mom saw the baby boy as a gift from God. And what a responsibility. I'm convinced that the godly nurture that Moses received for 3 years, because remember, if you know, remember the story, Moses' mom got Moses back and was able to nurse until it was time for him to be weaned and to go. So Moses, in this whole plan, Moses was with his mom for 3 years. And this time with his mom for those first 3 years of life, before he went to live with the princess in the court of Pharaoh, shaped him to be receptive and to respond to God's call. Those first 3 years were pivotal in how Moses was going to live the rest of his life. See, nothing you do for your children, nothing you give them is as important as making them aware of God's presence, even in the society we live in. Nothing is as important as making them aware of God's presence in their lives. And then, not just making them aware, but helping them to their dependence upon God. So then the action. So they're aware, they have the mind of God, but then to train them up so that they would depend upon God. Who knows what could happen? Who knows how God can use our sons and our daughters? See, in this dangerous world in which she found herself, Jochebed stands out because she did what she could to save her child. Then when she could do no more, remember, and we're going to get to it, but she, for 3 months, she hid the child. And then she could hide the baby no more. And she developed a plan. In that plan, she depended totally on the faithfulness of God to set her baby out in the ark, the pitch, the straw basket, and put it in the reeds. Total dependence on the faithfulness of God. She was a model of faith. See, Jochebed had a courageous faith. First of all, Jochebed's faith was courageous. Listen to what Hebrews, again, chapter 11, says about Jochebed. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. I take that he saw as they saw as no ordinary child. I take that as they saw him as a gift from God. It wasn't that he was just like this one is different. He was a gift from God. They saw him as a gift from God. He was no ordinary child. He was a gift from God. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Though the king said all the male Hebrew babies had to be thrown in the Nile, they defied what the Pharaoh had said. Jochebed and her husband disobeyed the king and hid Moses for 3 months. See, that takes courage. That takes courage. Imagine how hard it probably was to hide this infant. Now, there were baby girls, but you still didn't want to draw attention to yourself. I don't know about you, but I remember one of my kids. You could never hide that baby. That baby was screaming all the time. Krista. She just screamed and screamed and screamed and screamed. Could you imagine hiding from Pharaoh, who's going to throw your baby in the Nile, or any Egyptian, and that baby's crying? How hard and how much courage did Jochebed have in order to hide this baby to save it from being thrown into the Nile? See, we often think of faith as being passive. We often think of faith as this idea of let go and let God. To me, when I say let go and let God, it takes me to a place where I'm like just a passenger, and God's driving the train, and I'm just sitting there. But see, faith is so much more than that. Faith is an active thing. Faith sometimes calls us to do risky things. Faith, sometimes calls us to do risky things. What challenges are here for us? challenges that judge our faint faith. As I was doing this, I just was coming back, and I'm like, oh, the many times my faith was so faint. And the times I was rearing up my children. What challenges do we see here in this story that will judge our faint faith? And I, as I was putting this together, I just wanted to say, and I'll say it now because I'm probably going to say it later, but we could start right now. If God's talking to you and saying, you know, and bringing back, like, I could have done better, I could have done this, I could have done that. No, this is for now. For where we are right now and where we leave and the things that are going to come into our lives in the future, may God's story right now, right here, bring us to the place where our faith is not faint. Our faith is strong. Our dependence of God is strong. Our dependence is like an action. It's not just sitting there and letting God do it and just being a passenger. It's taking a risk and depending on God. The past is in the past. We'll learn from it. But this is for the future. This is for now. May this story bring to us a place that we can walk out of here with a stronger faith. And in the things that God puts us on our journey, that will bring to a place that we can totally depend on God and we can take those risks. See, one can reckon completely on God. Moses' mom did that when she put the baby in the reeds. See, what are there lurking in our fears and lurking in our minds, keeping us, keeping you from doing what is already determined to be right, but we're not going to do it because we're afraid? We know what's right. We know we should do this, and we don't do it because our faith is faint. Our faith is weak. Oh God, help us in our weakness and our faint faith. That's one lesson, is that we can reckon completely on God. That's a lesson from this right here. We can reckon completely on God. See, there's a second lesson. Not only can we reckon completely on God, we can relax in the trust and wait for the Lord to do His work. See, when we have that faith, we can relax and trust in the Lord. But then there's waiting. See, Jochebed had a sensible faith also. She not only had a courageous faith, a faith of courage, she had a sensible faith. See, after 3 months of hiding her baby, she saw the handwriting on the wall. She made a little wicker basket, covered it with tar and pitch to make it float, and put it in the reeds on the bank of the Nile. And now she had to wait. But see, this was a sensible faith also, because in this plan that she had, there's a reason she put the pitch and the tar's got me, like, the ark, and they're so similar. There's a lot of similarities between this and the ark. But this little basket is put in the reeds. And this was the plan. It's a plan from God. We don't know this yet, but there's a reason you put it in the reeds. It didn't float down the Nile. And it didn't, the Nile was a lot of crocodiles and a lot of alligators and a lot of like things that would probably not be good for a baby boy floating down the Nile. See, the reeds held the thing back. It held the little basket back. And not only that, but the place where the reeds were at is where the Egyptian women came down. It was active. There was people there. Maybe somebody would see that basket. And not only that, Moses' sister Miriam was off in a distance. She was back here. She's watching. You see, the plan was not for Moses' mom to be there watching, because that would be pretty hard to hide. But Miriam, Moses' sister, is now watching. See, there was a sensible faith. Are we willing to trust our children to God? It's so difficult to wait. I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm going to say it's a lesson learned here from this story. Because we see it. It's clear. It's so clear on the waiting portion. Trusting God and waiting. But then in that waiting, to be able to relax in the trust that there's, it's in God's hands. Have we done everything we can for them? After we've done everything we can for them, they now have to make their own decisions. And a lot of us are in this place right now too. I'm telling you, it never ends. I don't know. It doesn't for me and my family. We're 46 years old, down to 20 years old, and six of them there. It continues. The phone calls, the questions, the counseling. But we have to let them go. We have to let them, after we've done, just like Miriam, or not Miriam, but Moses' mom, she did what she could. She hid the baby for 3 months. But she can't do no more. Now she has to put him in a basket in the reeds and trust on God. When they're little and they're small, we do everything we can. We work, we train them up as the way they should go. There's a lot of verses on that. But then we have to let them go. Let them make their own decisions, establish their own path. Are we doing that, trusting in God? Or are we doing that with an iron fist and multiple other ways of doing it? Are we trusting in God as we let them go? Can we believe that God will care for our children even as He cared for that little ark in the dangerous river? Oh, what faith. What faith we're being taught. The readiness and the willingness to commit our children into the keeping of a covenant God who has promised through His word that He will train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. How much relief and release could come to parents today if we would simply rest in the confidence that God cares for and is willing to move in the lives of our children, and providentially and precisely as He moved in the life of Moses. See, we worship the same God. I believe the Holy Spirit is working in this story. And that same Holy Spirit that was there at the very beginning, that hovered over the earth with the energizing power to energize all that was put into motion, all that very first bar of creation out of nothing became this that was formless and void. But then the Spirit hovered over it and energized it. That same Spirit of God is the same Spirit that worked in the Old Testament. And I believe the Spirit of God was working right here. And it's that same Spirit of God that came on Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, that energized Peter to be able to preach to thousands, and thousands got saved that same day and began the church. That same Spirit of God now resides in us, those who are believers in Jesus Christ and have accepted the cross work of Him. That same Spirit resides in us. And how much do we rely on the Spirit of God? There are things mothers can do, but ultimately, we have to leave it in God's hand. That's a hard thing to do. Letting go. A mother's love never changes. It's steadfast. It never changes. But parenthood is a constant process of letting go. Letting your child make mistakes, letting your teenager learn some things the hard way, letting your adult child follow God's call. Even if it means he or she will live thousands of miles away. Mothers, take heart. He'll use your courageous, sensible faith to accomplish his purposes. He's working behind the scenes to accomplish his purpose in your children's lives. He will use you, but it's not all up to you. Look closely at the story. Around that little basket, that frail ark made of straw, half lost among the reeds, is the mighty shield of God's purpose. Every human act and every circumstance serves that purpose. See, I already stated, but the reeds prevent that basket from being carried away by the mighty stream. The princess came for her bath at just the right hour. Her idle glance towards that basket in the right direction. And the cry of the child came at just the right moment. There was the innocent but brilliant diplomacy of Moses' sister. And there was the shelter of a happy mother as the child was returned to her. Then there was the safety of the palace. So that's this whole story combined in one. You see, when the princess saw the basket in the reeds and she looked down on it, the mother's... The built-in actions of a mother were in the princess. She looked down on that. She knew it was a Hebrew child, a Hebrew boy, but she had pity on it. And some of the translations use the word pity, and some of the translations use compassion. They're two different things, meaning kind of the same thing. One, pity is a feeling. Compassion is an action. So she had pity, but she also had compassion because she had the compassion of a mother because she took this baby. And it was common in those days to take a baby and then look for a Hebrew mother that was nursing and feeding another baby to be able to feed that baby. So it wasn't an uncommon thing that was going on here, but then the princess needed a mother to feed this baby, and just so happens Miriam, his sister, is back here and goes, I can find you a mom that will nurse this baby. And it happened to be Moses' mother. And so Moses was then living under with his mother for 3 years total, about 3 years. You see, all these and 100 more trivial and important things combined paint a picture of God's providential design, his secret purpose being carried out. Shouldn't that convince us, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how many pharaohs may rise up against us, no matter how many forces Satan may throw against us, God's will is going to be accomplished eventually. Do we believe that? Do you believe that? It may not be today, may not even be this year, but His will and His purposes are going to prevail. Amen?
Amen.
We should be shouting glory, hallelujah for that, because His will and His purposes are going to prevail. That should make us excited. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But it's going to happen. It will happen. And we need to believe that. And our faith needs to show that. Do we believe it enough to wait? It's hard, but do we believe it enough to wait? You see, when the princess opened that little arch, she saw the child. The baby was crying, and it says that she had compassion on him. She recognized the child as a Hebrew, and she knew that her father wanted all Hebrew babies killed, baby boys killed. You see, as soon as she heard that infant cry, her heart was touched, and she entered empathetically into the Hebrew experience. She changed, her heart was changed. And now she was going to raise this baby boy, even against her father's will. So we don't even talk about that part of the story. See, and there's no names mentioned in this story. If you look at the story closely, it's the father of Moses, the mother of Moses, the sister of Moses, the princess. God's not even mentioned in this story. There's no names at all in this story. I conclude that you can only see God working, that this is God doing all of this, that is the power of the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned before, working in this whole scenario. And it's in secret. What's really cool is that nobody knew who Moses was going to be at this time. Nobody knew that he's going to be the one who brings them all out of Egypt. And as we just concluded the whole study on Exodus, that he was going to lead millions of people, and he was going to be the one who talks to God. He's going to be the one that goes up the mountain. He's going to be the one at the burning bush. In the times that he was born, it was risky to have a baby boy. In the times today, who knows what our sons and daughters will be as they obey and put their trust and depend upon God. We don't. I get that out of this story. There's no names. I think it's cool. There's not a single name in this whole story. I think it's cool that the princess's heart was changed by hearing that infant cry. See, it's not enough to have pity. Our pity must become compassion. See, and there's this overarching story of the faith of Moses' mother, the courageous faith. The faith that had reasonableness to it. The sensible faith. But here at the end, we also see the compassion of a princess. You see, pity is a feeling, it's an emotion. Compassion is rooted in the same feelings, but it goes deeper and it issues an action. So as we talk about this story for mothers, I said that this is not just a story for mothers, but there's something in it for all of us. And as we end this story here on compassion, note that God is the primary actor, and that compassion is what brought this story along. Where are we at in our compassion? Are we quick to judge? Are we quick to point the finger? Are we quick to have pity and then just end it there? Can we become more compassionate for others around us? Through God's help, we can. Remember, God is the primary actor. Let's pray. Father God, there's so much in this story. Father, before we can do any of these, compassion, the courage, the faith, we first have to have a relationship with you. Because Jesus has come, the Messiah has come. All this is pointing to Jesus the Messiah. And we're on the other side of that. In order for the Holy Spirit to live within us, even though He moves around and prepares the field, but for us to have faith like this, to wait, to trust, the foundation has to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Anything else would be on sinking sand. So I pray right now that each of us who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that it may be fuller, it may be closer, and it may be stronger. May our desire, may our want to just explode, to want to know Jesus better, to have a closer relationship. So I pray that for those who are believers. And Father God, if there's anybody here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would take what they heard today and move to that place of understanding of who Jesus is, the Savior, the Messiah. Don't have to change anything before they make this decision. Just come now as you are. Jesus says to bring your burdens, you who are heavy laden, bring them to me. So as we wait and we trust, may we bring our burdens to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give us the faith, I pray, for Moses, as in Moses' mother, that we can depend upon you. We glory in what you're going to do. Help us to see. Help us to be doers. Help us to be active. We love you. We thank you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.